by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Kurt Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I want to say we just got a, I don't know if you saw the text messages, Nicole, but our P1 listener friend, Matt Gilbert, is saying hello from Munich right now.
Yeah, he actually texted me about leaving because I think he has a special surprise.
For who?
For us? You.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
He felt bad you were missing out on Germany.
So let me say hello to him in German. Let me check this here.
Hallo.
Hallo. That's how you say it according to my phone. Hallo, Matt. Hallo.
I am pretty jealous. That was our London trip was the trip of a lifetime.
That was fantastic. That was really, really fun. I will admit. Let's see. Shoot. You always try to talk me away from doing this, Nicole. Well, got the new ratings.
Oh.
You always say, you've been saying for a year now, you don't want me to talk about it because it'll jinx things.
I'm a little superstitious about it.
But for a year now, it's been unjinxable.
Once again,
with the highest rated local news talk show in the United States of America. You know why? Because Nicole Thompson right there. She produces the show. That's why it happens. Oh, right there. Highest in America.
In the words of a state rep, you give me too much credit.
So you keep me on track. Whatever, you know, that you have to admit that that is a necessary and important component.
Oh, for sure.
No, you're
people ask
say,
what I do. I say, I keep him on track.
You're supposed to say, no, you're easy. But thank you once again. We just got this in, and number one in America, highest rated local news talk show. Thank you again. So we've been getting a lot of text messages. And look, I believe that you protect the team. And CBS News is part of our radio station. It's part of our show at the top of the hour. But listeners are particularly upset because, you know, I said earlier today that the left, both in the like the texters who hate listen to our show,
I accidentally left the radio on.
The hate listeners have been particularly vitriolic as the election gets near because you're not upset with me. You're upset with yourselves because you realize that the people you put in charge locally and nationally are a disaster. And you feel guilty about it. And you see all the crime that's happening. You see all the 401ks that are vaporizing. And you feel tremendous guilt. But you have to find a pressure release valve for all the guilt, because you know that the people that you've elected, I'm just talking about the people on the left now, you know the people you've elected have created so much death and destruction and crime and misery and financial problems across the country. And if I got to be your pressure release valve, it's part of the gig, you know, because if we didn't have all the hate listens, we wouldn't be the highest-rated local news talk show in the United States of America. But we got all these messages from people who might be a little more aligned with the ideology of this radio show, and they were complaining about CBS. They said, "Dory, are you listening to this coverage?" So I made a point of doing a little inventory at 2 o'clock this afternoon, 11 minutes ago. And so their opening story was a glowing story with Joe Biden in New Mexico or something talking to college students about the wonderful student loan forgiveness program that Joe pushed through. And again, no loan is being forgiven. A forgiveness would mean that the lender says, nobody has to pay it back. We'll absorb the loss. That would be forgiveness. But this is not forgiveness. It is not free college either. It is turning people who signed a contract, gave their word, assigned their honor to, I will pay back this loan. You give me this money now, I'll pay my tuition. And then as I make more money in my lifetime, I will pay you back. That's the honorable way to handle a contract. But the Joe Biden far left way is, okay, we'll have all these kids with college loans, young people, young adults, and we will turn them into deadbeats. And we will take their debt and we will hand it off to every other American so other people can pay those college students' loans off, which is what this is, at a cost of like $800 billion that we don't have as a nation. Just print it. You want to know why we have inflation? Just print. It's another trillion. Just print it. That's inflation. That's why a chicken breast costs $5.99 a pound at the grocery store right now, where it used to be $1.99 a pound before Joe Biden came in. You just print money that you don't have, and then that money gets infused into the system. And if you're just joining us, there was a poll of college students. What are you going to spend your money on once the loan's forgiven? 52% said they're going to shop for clothes. 46% said they're going to go to a restaurant or on vacation. 44% will buy a new smartphone. 36% will buy new video game systems. 28% will spend the extra cash on drugs and alcohol. 27% say they'll go gambling with the money. So my listeners and I, working our tails off, try to make ends meet for our own family, maybe put something away for our future. And here comes the mob, Joe Biden, the leftist extremists that control them. And they tell you and me, oh, yeah, and you got to absorb the loans of all the deadbeats now. We've created deadbeats. But Democrats love creating deadbeats because if you become a young deadbeat, you can be a deadbeat for life. And then you'll vote Democrat your entire life. So anyway, that was the first CBS story. Joe Biden's talking to college kids who are cheering for him because their loans have been forgiven. Okay, well, that's a load of nonsense. We know that. Then the second story was the Pennsylvania Senate race. John Fetterman, and they somehow found a soundbite where he sounded coherent. So they play a little coherent Fetterman in CBS News, and then they barely mention Mehmet Oz, but they then promote, and we'll have more of our interview with John Fetterman on CBS Nightly News. And then the third story is poll workers around the country are being threatened by angry mobs, which is the storyline that Jay Inslee and Joe Biden and Gavin Newsom crafted last Friday when Paul Pelosi got attacked by a hallucinogenic, whacked out BLM pride flag nudist, who now they're now saying is an example of the election deniers out there. It's just the craziest thing ever. And why everybody in the mainstream media feels like they have to just keep perpetuating this lie that Biden and Inslee and Gavin Newsom have come up with is beyond, other than it's their ideology. And so those were the three stories that they led. And then I had to get back to preparing for our show. But yeah, the great Biden student loan bailout. John Fetterman is suddenly lucid and Wright is making election threats. Yeah, it was pretty one side. So I thank you for all the listeners who texted me, and they all texted me an hour ago at 1 o'clock. And so I thought, okay, I'll listen to two and see if that's what happens again. And so, and my goal here is not to denigrate. anybody that's, you know, because like I said, we're on the same team. CBS is part of our radio station, has been for a long time. But I think that it is fair, especially in an election season, for someone like me to balance out some of the other stuff. And if I see it as falsehoods, and I think a lot of the stuff in that news report was a falsehood. There's no forgiveness of loans. It's transferred to us. And on it goes. And the election thuggery is being wildly exaggerated. That is just a storyline that they came up with when Paul Pelosi was attacked. How do we do this? Can you imagine that meeting? When they find out early Friday, because it happened 2:30 Pacific time in San Francisco. And then so it's 5:30 a.m. D.C.'s just waking up and word starts trickling out. Oh, my gosh, the speaker's husband was attacked in their mansion. By who? Well, he's this nudist guy. And the original 911 tape says that the nudist guy and Paul Pelosi were both in their underwear. Or the first report from the police. The first press conference said that. And now DC's, oh, no, you're kidding me. And they're fighting over a hammer. Okay, what can we do with this? And then they point to the kid at the end of the table who just graduated from Harvard. And they say, oh, what can you do with this? He goes, okay, let me get some more information. So he's nudist. How's his mind? Well, his mind was destroyed by hallucinogenic drugs. And he's completely whacked out. Well, can we say that he's a whacked out right winger? Well, he lives in a trailer in Berkeley with BLM and pride flags, so probably not. I've got it. We'll say that he's a right winger anyway. Oh, okay, go on. Kate. Did the police come promptly because of the alarm system? Because we don't want to tie this to the crime in San Francisco. Now, there was no alarm. There's no alarm in Pelosi's mansion. There's no alarm. Well, if there is, it wasn't set. Well, can we get the camera footage? The cameras weren't turned on. No, the Capitol Police monitors the cameras at her mansion in San Francisco. Yeah, nobody was watching. They were supposed to be, but nobody was watching. Can we get the police body cam video? No, they won't release that. Not even to us. We're the government. We're here to help. And then, so that's what they come up with. That he's inspired by January 6th. Out of that. All right, let me put all this together. Okay, January 6th. All right, go sell it. And then Jay Inslee comes out. January 6th. I have a feeling that Jay Inslee can be even easier controlled than Joe Biden these days, because it was just hours later, Friday afternoon our time, when Jay Inslee had gotten his marching orders from the Harvard kid at the brainstorm session in the swamp.
It really comes from a similar source, and that is deceit. About the election results. And you have people saying that the election results were stolen, that Joe Biden isn't president. And that has created the conditions of the fertile field that is explosive, that now has exploded in violence.
Yes, that is why the nudist in his underwear with Capitol Police not watching the camera feed, that's why he attacked Paul Pelosi. Because of January 6th. Yes. Yeah, just watch the media keep selling that story, because it is just delicious to watch. What we're watching is such desperation that it is a descent into collective madness that's going on right now. With all that as mere prelude, let me get to something really happy here. Let's get started with the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
If you were listening yesterday afternoon, Brock Heward came on at 1:30. And we were talking about the fact that the night before, Brock and his wife have three beautiful kids. And their middle child, Macy is a senior in high school this year. And Brock was telling me that the night before, he had had just a father-daughter dinner. And he was talking about how wonderful it was and the conversation that they had. And they were able to talk about, you know, her future. She's already committed to playing college basketball at Montana, where her sister is. And but Brock said, but I was resolved to not talk about sports. So they talked about guys, and they talked about goal setting. They talked about her future. And then I shared with Brock that I'm making in my greatest effort since my girls became adults to do the same thing. I took my oldest daughter to a show at the Neptune a few weeks ago, out to dinner in a show. A couple weeks ago, I threw my bike in my car, and my middle daughter, I met her in Ballard, and we went for about a three-hour bike ride and grabbed a slice of pizza at Pagliacci and went across to the locks and sat and talked and ate. And my youngest daughter's coming over for dinner tonight. And so I'm making more of an effort. So anyway, I got a couple really nice messages because Brock and I, our focus was the importance of fathers in their kids' life, and specifically in daughters' lives. Because, man, we hear all the time about boys who grow up without fathers and their propensity for violence and dropping out of school and joining gangs and all of these problems that come from fatherless America. And yes, that is true about boys. But I'm also worried about girls growing up without fathers in America. We have this growing segment of the population that's trying to even deny that there's any such thing as women or girls or femininity. And they're the same people who say, yes, let's destroy the traditional Western nuclear family because fathers are horrible patriarchs. And we had a beautiful talk about all of this. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you an email that I got last night that meant so much to me after that conversation with Brock yesterday. It's from, his name is Scott. He says, I heard Dory and Brock talking about making time for our daughters. I agree. Very important. My baby girl is leaving for boot camp in 2 weeks. I can't explain the feelings I'm feeling. Do you realize how hard it must be for a kid, a girl, these days, to give up everything they know and go fight for a company that doesn't respect her? She's been sort of spoiled her whole life, and now she chose to venture out on her own. She chose to go defend us. All of us, left, right, black, white, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of her. I'm crying just a little typing this. Things are much different today than 25 years ago when I enlisted. So I just wanted to tell someone how proud I am and that there are still some great kids these days. I hope y'all read this and please keep my little girl, Madeline, in your prayers. I'm worried about her, but things will be okay. She is our youth, and she will soon be the tip of the spear, leading our country in wartime or in peace. I am so, so proud of her for making this decision, which she will not regret. That's all I have, Dory. Please pray for her and for me. I'm more worried than she is, I think. Thank you for what you do, and I hope to hear from you soon. Godspeed. And that's from Scott, signed Scott, father of United States sailor. Hoo-ah! Man, Scott, you got me with that one. And I did write back to Scott last night and told him I would be proud to share his message with you today. God bless Madeline. God bless all of our military. Okay, quick timeout. That's your big lead. We're going to check the news for you. And then I'm going to talk with one of the Secretary of State candidates who I have not yet met. And so you can hear what she's all about as well next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, with ballots due this Tuesday, you know the issues and the races that are getting all the national attention, and that is for the U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives. There is another statewide race that's interesting. It's for Secretary of State Steve Hobbs. We talked with him a couple of weeks ago. He's a Democrat. The person opposing him is Julie Anderson, who says she is nonpartisan and running for Secretary of State of Washington. Julie Anderson joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Julie, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Dory, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, tell me first of all, why you want to be Secretary of State?
Well, I've been an end user of the Secretary of State. That office has been my authorizing agency as an election professional for the past 12 years. So I know how critically important it is. It's both a partnership, but also the Secretary of State provides oversight and standardization and certifies elections. So I am there with experience. 40 of my peers, former and current Republican, Democrat, and Independent agree. For the first time in history, Washingtonians are going to have a choice to get the experience that Sam Reed and Kim Wyman brought to the job, but without the political party strings attached.
Okay, so why nonpartisan? I mean, I know you said you want to get politics out of it, but before the Democrats appointed Steve Hobbs to replace Kim Wyman, it had been in Republican hands for decades and decades in this state. It was the only statewide office. In fact, I think Kim Wyman was the only statewide elected Republican on the West Coast. So why not just oppose the Democrat as a Republican when that party has had a pretty good history running Secretary of State office?
Because I'm not a Republican. And one of the things that Secretary Wyman did before she left was introduce a bill to make her very position nonpartisan. She agrees with me that partisan politics in this particular office is a destructive distraction. I saw her have to spend an inordinate amount of time defending her party and people that had nothing to do with the work that she was trying to accomplish. So I also think it's a distraction. And I don't belong to either political party. And I feel so strongly about this that I'm not accepting or receiving any endorsements from political parties. And I'm not accepting or receiving any money from political parties. Because how can voters trust me that I am nonpartisan if I am, in fact, winning the election with party money and with... party messaging.
Okay, so if you're not accepting any endorsements, man, the Democrats are going after you hard, and in particular, the state party chair, Tina Podlodowski, she is painting all kinds of characterizations of you, and I'm looking on their Twitter feed, and it says that you have all Trump supporters. Tina Podlodowski on Twitter said that if you care about voting rights and campaign finance reform, you're not the right person. Why is the head of the state Dems going after you so hard?
Oh, political parties are doing what political parties are going to do. So both political parties are in charge of electing people with their name brand. And I think they're worried about losing turf, quite frankly. The office of the Secretary of State should not be a parking lot for people that are in timeout. It should not be a ladder for people to climb to higher office. This is a serious job for serious people. But political parties have their own agendas. And so they're both trying to paint me as the opposite. It's kind of amusing to hear Republicans paint me as a radical Marxist and have the Democrats talk at me as though I'm a Trump-loving election denier. It's amusing.
Well, in fact, the most bizarre tweet that I saw from the Washington Democrats, it was when we had all the wildfire smoke, fires that were man-caused, by the way, and they said that it's dangerous to be outside in horrible air quality. And then they said, your policies, meaning you, Julie Anderson, would help elect MAGA Republicans who don't believe in climate change. That seems like an unbelievable reach on their part to assign that as somehow related to the Secretary of State job.
Yeah. A lot of people reported that tweet to me, and we're trying to make sense of it. It certainly isn't my plans and proposals to increase in person voting services on election day. I don't think that's going to have that kind of a result. I don't think that my proposals to increase auditing of elections is going to result in that. So I think they must be talking about feeling threatened about a nonpartisan election administrator. That's all I can think of.
You say you don't want to expand in-person voting on election day. Now, this is something that I might be a dinosaur. I know that Steve Hobbs likes the mail-in system. Kim Wyman loved it. She would talk on my show about it all the time. I don't like it. I love the day when people went to a polling place, produced a piece of ID to show who they were, matched a signature with their voter registration, and then got a ballot. I thought that that was a much safer, surer way to have free and fair elections, because I think the current mail-in ballot method in Washington, I think it is rife with the potential for fraud and misuse. But it seems like both you and your opponent like the way it is right now.
More importantly, the majority of voters like the way it is. People really voted with their feet. This has been evolutionary. We've been voting by mail for well over a decade. But before then, people were signing up for permanent absenteeism. And by the time the vote by mail law passed, gosh, over 90% of the electorate had already opted in to vote by mail. So it's really, it's not about Steve or I, it's about what Washingtonians want. I just want to say, Dory, I love that civic spirit of yours that comes through whenever you talk about voting in person. We don't want to lose that in Washington or in the nation. I love the civic spirit. And I'm glad you also added that you feel like vote by mail has the potential for fraud, but you didn't say it is fraudulent, because there is no evidence that we have large-scale fraud. But I'm completely committed to, if we have any election errors, if we have any fraud, tightening the system up to prevent it. But we really have a safe and secure system.
You say there's no evidence of fraud with the system, but we do know that ballot harvesting happens. We do know that strongly partisan people have signed up homeless people at encampments, and they all use the downtown emergency services building as their registered address. I don't like the ballot harvesting. I had Kim Wyman tell me the big scandal of a couple years ago, when it was revealed by King County Elections that if somebody wrote their ballot selection on the back of a napkin and put that in, that that would be counted. So there is stuff like that that I think is horrible that's happening right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the napkin, because I don't want our listeners to walk away thinking that this is the high school prom where you can just stuff crud in a ballot drop box and have it counted, because that's not the way it works. The most important document that we need, that everybody has to provide, is that voter ID, your voter ID number and a signature that matches your registration with an affidavit. So yes, you can have a ballot that looks like a napkin and you can just write a candidate's name on it. But here's what happens in the background. If we don't know who you are, if your signature doesn't match and you haven't signed an oath under penalty of law, and we don't know, we can't verify who you are, that's not going to count. But you have the right to mark your ballot in crayon. You have the right to only vote for one race. And we're going to work and make sure that that one vote counts. It's the identity, the verification of the individual, and okay, the attestation that they're casting that ballot legally. That's the important thing.
All right. Got it. Well, it's good talking with you, Julie. And yeah, like I said, I know this race isn't getting nearly as much attention as some of the federal races that are going on, but I do think it's important. I'm glad you were able to reach out to my listeners this way, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for this. Bye, Dory.
All right, Julie Anderson, she is running for Secretary of State as an independent, and I do like that. I would love to see our elections out of the hands of strongly partisan party officials. I think that that is a dangerous path. All right, love to hear what you think. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we're not done. It is time to present our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
So earlier today, I played a montage because Joe Biden, Jay Inslee, Gavin Newsom, they're trying to make this Paul Pelosi attack about right wing and insurrectionists and some fantasy they've cooked up. And it is nothing but a fantasy. And they, you know, talking about the violence that poll workers are experiencing from the right. And all of this is made up. And I'm sick that most in the media go along with their phony story on all of this. And I played a montage of demo. I've got about 20 minutes of this stuff, but I'm just going to play a few seconds to refresh your memories.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
They go low, be kicked.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radical.
Okay, it goes on. The greatest hate the last several years has been from the left, and that montage proves it. Anyway, I got a text message from the 206. Man, Dory, you've really gone off a deep end. Sure, you have audio of Democrats, citizens, and electeds making irresponsible, ridiculous statements. Do you really want to say they're even close to the number of your MAGA insurrectionists whose reckless and vile rhetoric are only audible under mob-like circumstances? Give me a break. No, actually, there are far more on the left than the mob insurrectionists. Look at the billions of dollars of damage throughout 2020 when left-wing forces were burning down America. More than 200 lives lost. Look at the mob that in an insurrectionist attack was pounding on the doors of the United States Supreme Court to try to prevent the Kavanaugh appointment to the bench. You know, for everything you can point to on the right, there's 10 things on the left. And that's why I'm just saying, I'll just balance it out one-on-one. But I'm not going to let all this stuff go unchallenged because it is a little fantasy that too many people in the media have decided to be the megaphone for. And it's all a phony story. All of this stuff that Inslee and Joe Biden are spinning out there. And that's just a tiny little snippet of it. But yeah, I am saying that it's not just as bad on the left. I'm saying it's far worse. Okay, let's see. Elsewhere, John Fetterman. Oh, CBS played a clip earlier today where he was amazingly lucid. So this would be a good day to hear more from the Senate candidate. I hope he has a football story for us.
Summer of 1986. I think everyone that ever plays football in high school was, you know, at a kind of like a trade-out kind of, and there wasn't any interest to have me come play here.
Well, it was loosened in the CBS clip, at least. All right, that's what we're up against. Man, Friday, we have an extravaganza put together for you tomorrow. Already, it's only going to get better from here, too. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the fantastic ratings. Thank you just for being you. I love you. The John Carlin and Sherry Elker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.